The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him. Others were saying, he is Elijah. Still others, he is a prophet like any of the prophets. But when Herod learned of it, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up. Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you. He even swore many things to her. I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? Her mother replied, the head of John the Baptist. The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. I have today a short reflection from a commentary on today's gospel. The blood that John shed, together with that of the martyrs of all times, was to be united to the redeeming blood of Christ, so as to give us an example of love and steadfastness in the faith, an example of courage and effectiveness. Martyrdom is the great expression of the virtue of fortitude and the supreme testimony of the truth that a person confesses to the extent of giving his life for it. The martyr's example reminds us that we must bear witness to the faith, a witness which is personal, definite, and if such an event should occur, given at great cost and demanding exceptional courage. It reminds us finally that the martyr for Christ is not a hero far removed from us, but is actually one of us. They are ours. Their example teaches us that, if necessary, every Christian should be prepared to give up their life as a witness to the faith. The martyrs are not only a matchless example from the past. Our own day is also a time for martyrs. Ours also has been a time of persecution, even to the shedding of blood. The persecutions for the faith in our day are often similar to those that the martyrology of the church has already recorded in centuries past. They merely assume different types of discrimination against believers and the whole community of the church. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of witnesses to the faith. They are often unknown or forgotten by contemporaries or public opinion. Often, it is only God who knows them. They undergo daily privations in the most diverse regions of each of the continents. We are speaking of believers obliged to meet clandestinely because their religious community is no longer authorized. We are speaking of bishops, priests, and religious who are forbidden to exercise the holy ministry in their churches or public meetings. We are speaking of youth who are prevented from entering a seminary or a place of religious formation in order to follow their own vocation there. We are speaking of parents who are denied the possibility of ensuring that their children receive an education inspired by their own faith. We are speaking of men and women, manual workers and intellectuals, of people drawn from all the professions, who by the simple fact of professing their faith run the risk of seeing themselves deprived of a brilliant future career. My brothers and sisters, oftentimes martyrdom goes without being seen. It's kind of hidden, almost in plain sight. But also, this doesn't mean that martyrdom is something that is bloody. Oftentimes, we think of martyrdom as something as strictly that has to do with shedding of blood, but that's not the case. There is a red martyrdom, which is St. John, St. Blaise, all the martyrs that we normally hear about, and then there is something that the church has been developing for a while called white martyrdom, where it's kind of like a psychological martyrdom, an interior martyrdom that we suffer. And often it's a lot more under the radar than the red martyrdom. But I do want to make it clear that even though all of us are called to martyrdom, being willing to give our life for it, it does not mean that we are necessarily expected to always give blood. But it does mean to give up the little things in life that are, or to accept that as a sacrifice, the little white martyrdoms throughout our lives. When it means maybe losing a career, a brilliant career, because we profess our belief in Jesus Christ. Or if it means, I don't know, your lives are filled with them. It can be difficult to accept that martyrdom. But if we stay true to Jesus Christ, if we profess our faith in him without fear, he's going to stay true to us. Because that's what he does.